You're listening to Sandbox Radio.
The place, Seattle, Washington. The year is 2050. 15 years ago, in the summer of 35, a small local online retailer invents time travel for the sole purpose of being able to deliver packages to their customers before the customers even order them. The technology works, but the return process is thrown into chaos. When customers, instead of returning items they don't want, simply don't order them in the first place. This creates several tears in the space-time continuum, warping whole neighborhoods and creating our fair city's most famous landmark, the Troll Needle. Time travel is swiftly outlawed by the Sissy Pants Anti-Innovation City Council. And you all know the rest. When time travel is outlawed, only outlaws will travel through time. That's where I come in. I'm what they call a doc. When someone makes a temporal sidestep and screws something up, I make it all better. With my trusty quantum bop gun at my side, and the help of my young apprentice, Miss Molly Mercer, we make sure the history of Seattle stays in line and on time. The past can be a rowdy place, and besides, we'd all hate it if things turned out differently. Wouldn't we?
It's time once again for Doc and Mercer's Mostly True History of Seattle. This week's episode, A City Sensible.
And Beautiful.
And Beautiful by Elizabeth Heffron.
What is it?
Get up, Doc. It's an emergency.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding. Get out of bed.
Go away, Molly.
Good morning.
What? You just dumped me on the floor.
Here's your unitard. Hurry.
Oh, I hate this unitard.
Wow, Doc. You're getting good at putting that thing on.
Well, I'm a professional, Molly. Ow. Now, what's the emergency?
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
Exactly. No brakes screeching, no cars honking, no bright neon signs flashing in your windows, no drones buzzing by constantly. Look out the window.
Holy Gattaca, Molly. The entire city's been transformed. Calm traffic? Wide streets?
All oriented the same way? On the same directional grid?
Where's the Mercer Street mess?
Gone! And look at that verdant urban forest stretching from the city center to Lake Union. And the miles of underground subway.
Which we can't see from here.
No, but we know it's there because this is all so well-planned and sensible.
Quick, shut the window, Molly. Something's not right. You think somebody's been messing with the space-time continuum again? Wait, you hear that?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Call me Ishmael.
I am an invisible man.
Mrs. Dalloway said she would buy the flowers herself.
Doc, isn't that...
Be still, my heart.
You don't suppose it's Nancy Pearl? That renegade writer-librarian you've been crushing on all over the known multiverse.
She must be riding her Pearl Collator on another quixotic tirade through time.
But how did she escape the digital Eastax detention facility?
Probably with a good index. There's nothing she can't overcome with her can-do, saucy attitude. We better check the space-time weave. Does anything seem to be unraveling?
Let me check. nothing appears, I can't seem to locate. Oh, wait. There she is.
Where?
Seattle, late October 1912.
Ooh. Grab the quantum bop gun and the bing bong, Molly. We better find out what Nancy Pearl is doing to turn Seattle into such a wonderland of calm and beauty.
And put a stop to it?
You got it.
Quiet down. Now, as you all know, the Municipal Plans Commission was tasked with developing a city comprehensive plan that would be most sensible and beautiful.
Sensible and beautiful? Ha!
Wow, Doc. This is a pretty big crowd for a planning meeting.
Seattle loves to plan, Molly. It's implementation that's the hard part. Any sign of Nancy?
Not yet.
There were only two things the state Supreme Court required when addressing the constitutionality of our new plan. It had to be developed by a nationally known consultant, and it had to be approved before a vote of the people.
But that's us, you fat cats!
What's the point of chopping off Queen Anne Hill?
Wait, nobody's chopping off Queen Anne Hill.
You chopped off Denny Hill for the regrade.
Well, that has nothing to do with the Bogue plan. Quiet down! Now let's hear from the nationally recognized man himself. Give Virgil Bogue a rousing Seattle greeting.
Huh, Molly. Molly, I've never heard of this Virgil Bogue.
I'll check him out on the bing bong. Virgil Bogue, civil engineer and visionary. He designed both Seattle and Tacoma's waterfronts and railroad routes across the Cascades.
My friends, I am Virgil Bogue.
Oh yeah? What makes you so famous, mister?
Among my many accomplishments, I named the city of Pasco. Oh.
What'd you call it?
Pasco.
After Cerro de Pasco in Peru.
Citizens, I personally stand behind the Bogue Plan, a comprehensive design that will allow Seattle to grow to 1 million inhabitants in a sensible and beautiful manner.
That's insane.
What about the mud? Yeah.
Imagine wide tree-lined boulevards and a radial Beaux-Arts Civic Center at 4th and Blanchard. Whoa.
Check it, Doc. Mm-hmm. Look at his plan.
Well, it looks like Paris with all those trees and parks and large monuments.
Plus, rapid subway transit lines connecting all parts of the city.
And what's this massive thing?
That's a Grand Central train station at the south end of Lake Union.
We'll link the outlying areas to Everett all the way to Tacoma.
Oh, Everett to Tacoma, you say?
That sounds too convenient.
Don't you see, citizens? It's now or never to define the future of our city. We're flush with gold rush money, booming with new immigrants, and we just annexed Ballard.
Maybe Nancy Pearl miscalculated her dates, Doc.
Not a chance. Uh-huh. Listen, here she comes, riding in like a dream on her teapot library bicycle.
Hello! Hi there! Nice tie.
Whoa! Who's that?
Isn't she lovely?
Doc, remember what happened last time you two had a tete-a-tete?
Oh, well, that was in the 70s. We were both kids.
Hello, good people of Seattle. I understand you are here to determine the future of our city.
Madame, this is highly irregular.
Well, before you vote on the Bogue plan, may I make a few reading suggestions? books that might help you to imagine and empathize with the future citizens who will share this place.
What? We gotta read something?
Cities are the crucibles of civilization, according to Jeffrey West.
Madam, I believe I, Virgil Bogue, am presenting the Bogue plan to these voters.
He's so full of himself.
Doc, don't get over-involved.
Have you told them you turned Mercer Island into a park 4 times the size of Sydney Park in Vancouver?
I was about to.
Citizens, might I suggest that you take a few minutes to peruse The Death and Life of Great American Cities by Jane Jacobs?
I'll take one of those.
Here you go.
Molly, what is she doing?
She's handing out books from the future.
Oh, no. She's trying to influence the vote.
We better put a stop to this, Doc.
Look, lady, I don't need to read a book to see you want us to vote yes. But they've got the new Civic Center going in at 4th and Blanchard. That's so far north.
And nobody's saying what it's all going to cost.
So what are we talking here? $1 million?
Of course, if you'd like a historical perspective on...
We'd better get her out of here, Doc.
I say enough beating around the bush. It's time to vote.
Pull out the quantum bop gun, Molly. On my signal, zap a time freeze.
A time freeze? Are you sure?
Molly, there's no time to argue with me. Just do it.
You got it.
Nancy Pearl! Put the books down. Slowly.
Whoa, who's the dandy in the unitard?
But, Doc, they're about to vote it down.
What the heck is going on?
Do it now, Molly!
What's happening?
Nancy Pearl, I froze in time, and I'm commandeering the Percolator in the name of the future.
This is your last book recommendation in 1912.
But, Doc, imagine what our city could have become if the citizens had only read these books before they voted.
You're a Panglossian, Nancy. I understand. It takes me back to our last encounter in 72 when you and I and a horde of barefoot hippies closed down I-5.
Doc.
We know it's tempting to go back and change things. And the Bogue plan was a great alt future. But you change one thing in the past and the entire space-time sweater unravels.
Oh, I do love a good knitting metaphor.
I know you do.
Watching human beings make the same mistake over and over again is just so heartbreaking.
Yep.
It reminds me of a wonderful book.
Oh, Molly, you were right. The time freeze is melting. We better jet.
All those opposed?
Don't forget the damn mud!
Yay! Hop on the percolator, Doc and Nancy. Let's get out of here.
I'm only going as far as 2018, you know.
Watch out, Molly. The viaduct's still up. Oh! Ow!
Sorry about that. 2018, Doc and I can bop gun from here.
Well, Doc, you foiled me again.
I know. I'm sorry.
Never be sorry. Love means never having to say you're sorry. There's actually a very bad book about that.
Oh, Nancy, sometimes I wish that...
Doc, the bop gun's loaded. 2050, here we come!
Fare thee well, Nancy.
Such a loon.
Well, Doc, we stopped her, and we're back where we belong.
Yes, I suppose we are.
Hey, wait a minute.
What's this I feel in my large unitard pocket?
Looks like a book.
A Tale of Two Cities. By Charles Dickens. A first edition, inscribed by the author.
What's it say?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Ain't that the truth?
Thanks, Nancy Pearl.